You open your book with a quote from a book by Anne Pancake called Strange as This Weather Has Been. Could you read that quote for us and then tell us why you chose to open your book with it?
I've learned something about times like these. In times like these, you have to grow big enough inside to hold both the loss and the hope. And I think that this, I've seen this with my generation growing up in Appalachia, but also in my research as well. Most friend groups have lost some friends to overdose death or to suicide. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference which. And that takes a toll. You know, you start getting scared when you get phone calls from friends late at night thinking that it's another death. But at the same time, there's so much beauty and activism here, and you see that with the youth. They have these beautiful, radical ways of conceptualizing what Appalachia is going to look like. And I saw a lot of that with the women I spoke to who are going through substance use treatment. They had all these imaginings of what life could be like, and there was so much hope in those imaginings, yet there was so much hurt as well. And so I think that's where this really comes from.
You spent a lot of time in these rural Kentucky communities. Tell us about the course of your research.
Yeah, and one of my biggest focuses was just trying to be there. So I have family in rural East Tennessee and from East Tennessee, but that doesn't mean I have a good experience of what it means to be in rural Kentucky. And so I got a studio apartment there. I lived there. Tried to go to community events. I went through a round of festivals for every vegetable and fruit you can think of. But when you start talking to people and saying what you're doing, then you get all sorts of stories. And that led me to be able to go out with people. And so some people who were interested in tourism would take me to all around the county and tell me what they imagined for the future of that county. And then I would talk to treatment providers and walk through what treatment looked like for them. And if I was allowed in, go to some group sessions for treatment. And then I talked to a lot of women. So I talked to 40 women at least once. Most of those conversations were about an hour, hour and a half. Some went to 3 or 4 hours. And those are the most of the women I ended up going back to talk to over again a few times, to try to really get their story, see where they were at in treatment, and sort of follow them through.
So just in general terms, tell us who these women are.
Almost everyone I talked to were mothers, I think all were mothers, and 38 out of 40 had issues with child services for a variety of different reasons. And there was a lot of hurt in people's lives. So about half the women had been sexually assaulted at some point. About half the women had experienced domestic violence. So just being placed in very at-risk situations where oftentimes the options were either a bad option or a terrible option. And most had a hard time providing economically for themselves and their families. And that's not because of some lack of will or anything like that, but because there was just a lack of access to jobs, and especially if they had gotten any sort of record, either a criminal felony record or a record through Child Protective Services, it was really impossible for them to enter the workforce in those counties where the biggest sources of employment are oftentimes through some sort of health care or through the school system. And then they were regulated. They could not participate in that economy.
So many of the women in your book were facing drug offenses, and you use the term a just alternative to incarceration. What would that look like?
I think in critiques of how the response to the opioid use versus crack use and heroin use in the past, there's been this idea that some people, especially in rural areas, are seeing a just alternative to incarceration. But what I saw in eastern Kentucky was in no way just. A lot of the women there were not being incarcerated, or at least being incarcerated for long periods of time. But they were being processed through state systems that were very punitive, whether that was punitive social services or punitive child protective services. And so while we're looking at trying to decriminalize or at least not drug use or at least not incarcerate as many people, I hope we don't fall into the pit of just sending people through underfunded state programs that still marginalize people, even though it may not be incarceration. So I think a just alternative is really meeting people where they're at, seeing what they need, what they say they need, and trying to supplement people's resources, especially when they don't have access to an economy or a social situation where they can provide for themselves and their family. And the last thing we want to do is forcing people through programs that just further hurt them. So we really need to be about reducing harms and not increasing harms.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.